This week's mailbag is from Lisa. I am listening to the Sunday Basket podcast, The Psychology of the Sunday Basket, and I have a few ahas. I have been finding my work a bit too easy recently, and I am handling challenges too calmly. I was worried that I have missed something, and I have been berating myself. Lisa and Holly discussed that this happens after establishing the habit, so relax and enjoy the feeling. I used to get a dopamine hit from getting to-do tasks done just in the nick of time. Now I get the hit and satisfaction from my work box time and planning my week well. I used to always be late for everything. Lisa suggested that one gets a dopamine hit from rushing. I have been early lately, and now I realize I have swapped the hit for feeling fantastic about myself being on time and mentally congratulating myself.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. One of the things that I find most interesting, and I truly enjoy, is peeking behind the curtain and seeing inside of people's daily lives. Like, how do they live? What are they doing? What habits do they have? What are their routines? What are their values? What are their passions? What are their interests? What are the opportunities and the threats that are helping them succeed or hindering them from the success that they try to achieve? And in the last handful of episodes, as we have listened to people who are all in the accumulation stage, there are different things that we learn in different phases of life that we go through. There are organizational skills that we have that we learn in childhood. There are organizational skills that we learn in our 20s and 30s, completely different organizational skills in our 40s and 50s, and so on and so forth. And I thought it would be interesting, as we are going to celebrate this month, the 5th anniversary of the physical Sunday basket, for me to reflect on how I have used the Sunday basket over the last 20 years and how my habits and seasons of life have changed, specifically with the Sunday basket, the Friday workbox, and the productive home solution. Like, how have I managed my home, my work, and my Sunday basket invisible work activities today, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and 20 years ago? And so often I share the origin story of the Sunday basket, which I'm going to share with you in this podcast episode, and then I leave it there. And I don't tell you what my life looked like 5 years later, and 10 years later, and 15 years later. And now here we are today, 20 years later, 21 years later. Actually, the Sunday basket is legal age as far as the idea and the concept that I created at home. And the physical Sunday basket is turning 5. She's going to kindergarten. So I thought it would be fun to look at each of those times in my life, where I was as a human, where I was as a wife and mother, where I was in business, and where I was as a homemaker, and kind of tell you where I was succeeding, where I was failing, and what led me to the next 5-year jump in life. So let's all get in our time machines together, and we are going to travel all the way back to 2002. In 2002, I was turning 30 years old. I had 2 children. Joey was 2 years old, and Abby was 6 months old at the time that I turned 30. I had achieved most of my life's goals at that point. I had gone to college and gotten my MRS degree, meaning I wanted to be Mrs. somebody. So I became Mrs. Greg Woodruff a couple of years after I graduated from college. And I did meet Greg when I was in college my sophomore year. And my ultimate goal and why I wanted to be a Mrs. is because with a Mrs. came children, and I wanted to be a mother, and I wanted to have my children before I turned 30. And we did. We adopted Joey when I was 28, and we adopted Abby when I was 29. So pretty much I turned 30 and I had these two babies and I was working from home with them. I was very fulfilled as a person. I literally had checked off everything that was on my bucket list at that point. I was so busy in the best way possible. I was busy mothering. I was busy homemaking. I was busy being a direct seller. I was busy making cookies. I was busy making cards. I was busy scrapbooking. I was busy traveling with my parents. I was busy, 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 and so happy. I was so happy. And the finances were working in our family. Like, Greg's income covered all of our essentials, and my income covered all of the extras that we wanted, like future preschool. And I had just bought Greg some golf clubs for his birthday, and I was paying for vacations, and I was earning vacations. As a creative memories consultant, I was one of the top performers, so I was always getting bonuses and getting extra vacations. And let me just tell you, life was great. 2002, 30 years old, life was busy and full, but really, really great. And then it just got just a little bit too busy. And so I loved everything I was doing, and we had enough money coming in to cover all of our expenses, but I started paying my bills late because I just couldn't get all of the actionable to-dos done. And back in 2002, very little was automated. Now, actually, it's kind of funny because today I always tell you how paper-based I am, and I use digital systems, but it's not my favorite, and I definitely don't teach any digital systems. But back then, I was like one of the people you would go to find out about digital systems. Like, I had worked in the late 90s for a company that was making sure that internet websites that students went to were safe, back when we thought we could catalog the whole internet. So I was paid to do that. I always had a computer. I had a computer all the way back in 1993 and 94 at college, because my, what we thought was dyslexia, was so bad. My spelling was so atrocious that my parents bought me a computer. I didn't even go to the library and use the computer lab. I had my own computer in college, which was like kind of unheard of. No one else that I knew had one. So I had a computer when I graduated. I had email, I had Word documents. Like, I was pretty techie. And in my creative memories business, there was a creative memories consultant's husband who was a software developer, and he created a CRM system like Salesforce or something like that. Think of Salesforce or trying to think of some of the other ones. We use Infusionsoft and Organize 365, but basically a database where you could keep track of all of your customers and all of their emails. I already had one of those in 2002 for my Creative Memories business. So I did have digital systems and I had email, but most of the world was still paper-based. I was sending out physical newsletters in the mail for my Creative Memories customers 4 times a year. I was calling every single customer that I had 4 times a year. The kids were not in preschool yet, so I was watching my own children all the time because, you know, like, as a parent, that's what you're supposed to do. They're humans. You have to kind of watch them. Joey was extremely asthmatic. He was on 8 medicines at the age of 2 for asthma. Some were off-label medicines because his asthma was just so bad. He had had steroids 8 times in 1 year, which is more than you're supposed to have, but also, like, you want your kid breathing, so it wasn't really an option. So he was pretty sick, and we were doing breathing treatments all the time. I was a former preschool teacher, so, you know, I wasn't just, like, plopping my kids in front of the TV, although I did plop them in front of the TV plenty. We also did like Play-Doh and coloring and all of that kind of stuff, you know, a couple hours worth a day. So I was doing that. Abby was a dream child, but she loved being held, which is so funny because she is my daughter who now has a baby, Grayson. And he's my little grandchild. He's 1.5 years. And Grayson is the same way as Abby. Like, if you're sitting down, Grayson will play next to you or he'll go toddle around. But if I'm standing up, he crawls right over. And now he walks right over. And he just will not go away until you hold him. Like, he just wants to be held. And I'm like, dude, all I'm doing is standing here trying to cook or do the dishes or open the mail. And he's like, I'm fine. He will chill and let me hold him for ever. Like, he never asks to get down. Joey couldn't wait to get down. So that was my life. 2002, turning 30, life was going great, but I couldn't keep up with my to-do list. Like, my to-do lists had to-do lists. And I have an awesome kitchen. I've always had the same kitchen. We've lived in our house for, I don't know, almost 30 years now, I guess. And so I had this house before we had kids, and now as an empty nester, like, same house. So when you see any of the pictures of my kitchen, same kitchen. So the huge kitchen island. And I would stack up all of my actionable to-dos at the end of that counter every day, because just like now with baby Grayson, we put the two gates up. Like, our kitchen, eating area, and family room are all connected. And when you have these two baby gates up, like, you're in this nice, big, livable space where you can literally work, eat, play, watch TV, entertain. Like, you only have to leave this space to do laundry and go to the bathroom and go to bed. Otherwise, I would live in this kitchen space with my kids all day long. I'd bring them down in the morning, shut the gates, and we were off to the races. So I was running my whole business from that kitchen. And at the end of the night, I would stack up all of my to-dos, which were mostly paper-based, at the end of this counter on this really tall pile, this really big pile. And this pile was at least 12 inches high. And the problem was, the papers inside of this pile had no rhyme or reason. They weren't even paper-clipped together. There were invoices of orders I needed to fill. There were newsletters that got returned that I needed to send out. There were bills that needed to be paid. There were subscriptions, prescriptions I had to refill. There were doctor's notes. There were notes from messages I'd taken off the phone call. There were literally checks that people had given me for creative memories that I needed to cash. Like, it was all in the same pile. And so every day I'd be like, I'm going to tackle this pile. And I would start off with so much energy, and I'd make the kids food, and then I'd get them started watching a show, and I'd start to spread out this pile. But Joey never took any naps. Like, he never took any naps, and Abby always wanted to be held. So I was just playing like this paper pile game, like maybe you've played it before, where you take the paper pile and you spread it all out, you look at it, and then you shove it back into a pile again. And literally, it would take me like an hour to do this, and I would get nothing done. Nothing done. So one night, it was 8 o'clock at night, and I remember this, at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, the gods had shone on me, and Joey was asleep, which, like, never happened. He never was asleep. So he was asleep. Abby always went to bed early, so Abby was asleep. And Greg was really tired, and he went to bed early also. And it was a Sunday night, and I was not tired. It's like 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday. And I was like, I am going to tackle this pile. Like, I am going to solve this problem, because otherwise, like, I am just getting further and further and further behind. And eventually, this is not going to go well for me. So I spread all of those piles out. Instead of on the island, I spread them out on our family room floor. And we have a pretty big family room. And I just made as many piles as I needed to. Bills to be paid pile, checks to be deposited pile, emails to respond to pile, people to call, you know, all the different piles that I had. And when I was done, I think it took me an hour or so to really get those piles. I was like, okay, I can see my to-do list. I see what needs to be done here. But I can't leave this on the floor, because this is where I parent my children. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning, and then it's going to be even worse. And I could paperclip things, but I'm a terrible paper clipper. I don't like paperclips. I've never liked paperclips. They don't work. Things always fall apart. So I could staple things, but these weren't like enough to be stapled. Like, I really thought this one through. I was like, I like little bowl clips, those like stronger clips. But my brain needs a little bit more division than a bowl clip. Like, if all these piles were just clipped, and now I had the same 12-inch pile with all these little clipped or stapled things, like, that wasn't enough division for my brain to realize I had 40 actionable categories of tasks. So, because I am an office supply junkie, and I love the office supply, like, if you ask me, do you want to go to an office supply store or do you want to go to a clothing store? I'm going to be like, why would you need more clothes? I need more office supplies. I love office supplies. And I was a teacher and I love binders. So I had binders. I had Longaberger baskets, which is like this custom basket that was woven in Ohio. It was really popular in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. I had those. So I had these slash pockets, these color-coded binder inserts. They're just all these random colors. And I was like, okay, well, if I put each pile in one of these color-coded plastic binder dividers, that would containerize each of these piles enough for me that I could grab a packet and then I could do whatever is in the slash pocket, knowing that each of these 40 piles each had like anywhere from 2 to 20 tasks for them, like 2 to 20 checks that needed to be cashed and 2 to 20 bills that needed to be paid and 2 to 20 people that needed to be called. And I also intuitively already knew that like there would be more checks to cash again. There'd be more calls to make again. There'd be more bills to pay again. Like these piles, it wasn't like by dividing these piles, the actionables were going to go away. I was really physically creating in front of me my job description, really. I paid the bills. I deposited checks. I made phone calls. I did like this was my momming, mothering, homemaking, direct selling, wifing job description, really. And I was like, okay, well, these piles aren't going away and little clips don't work for me. So I'll put them in these slash buckets. There's no color coding at this point because, I mean, I was just creating it. And I was like, and I don't really want to put these in a binder because if I put these in a binder, then you have to open the binder. I was like, it'd be much easier if I just had them like on the kitchen counter so I could grab whichever one I needed to. And I need to keep reviewing these because everything in here needs to be done like tomorrow, but I can't get it done tomorrow. So I know I'm behind the eight ball. But I also know that it will all get done if I continually go through this pile in a more proactive way. That's how I started. I was like, all right, well, I'll put it in a basket because if I put plastic slash pockets on the end of my counter, they're going to slide off and I'm going to have pockets all over the floor. Whereas my 12-inch paper pile stayed neat because it was paper and it didn't slide everywhere. So I just grabbed a medium market basket because I had three of them because I loved that size. And I put all these slash pockets in there and I went to bed. And that is how I created the Sunday basket. I was overwhelmed with the actionable to-dos I had to do. I sorted them into all of the different divisions of job description that I had in my cobbled together, multifaceted job I had created for myself. And I knew that these tasks were never going to be completely gone. So I kind of needed that physical placeholder, that slash pocket for the project as it was ongoing and the new requests I knew that were inevitably coming on Monday morning. So I went to bed super excited and I got up the next morning and I was ready to go. So it's like, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock, whatever. Joey fell asleep for like 20 minutes and Abby was already asleep. I was like, all right, let's test this system. So I went over to the basket and I fingered through all of the slash pockets and I pulled one out. I don't remember which one it was, whether it was bill pay or phone calls. It was one of those two. I pulled it out. I immediately grabbed my checkbook to pay bills, because remember, it's 2002, or my phone to make phone calls. And I got through as much as I could. And I know I did not complete everything in that slash pocket before Joey woke up. He woke up. I went and got him, got Abby, started to make lunch. And I was like, oh, this is going to work. I did not get all the work done. I did not get all 40 slash pockets done, but I got something accomplished. And up until that point, as a mother of two children, once Abby came along, I wasn't really getting things checked off my to-do list during the day. I was adding them faster than I was checking them off, and I was just kind of treading water. And I knew that it was going to take me a while to be able to catch up to where I was before I had two children, but I could see the path. Like, I understood there was a path then. I was like, okay, game on. Then I'm kind of like, I gamify my whole life. So I'm like, can I get all the way through a slash pocket? Can I get through two? Can I get through? And there again, there was not the system that you see today because I was literally creating it for myself. So the next Sunday rolls around. I don't know how much I had gotten done in the Sunday basket, but not all of it. I could tell you that for sure. And Sunday afternoon tended to be the time where Greg had recuperated from his week at work. You know, there was football on in the afternoon because this was in the winter time. The kids went down for their nap. And that was usually the time where he'd be like, why don't you go take some time for yourself? So I grabbed my basket of these slash pockets and I went up and I sat on my bed and I went through every single one. And I was like, okay, so I know this works for me. I know there's more here to do than I can get done. So expecting that I now know what the work is and getting it done is not a realistic expectation. I am an overachiever and a, like, I make things so much harder than they need to be, and I make my goals so much bigger than they need to be, but I knew that I was never going to be able to get through the whole basket in 1 week. So I said, okay, how can I chunk this? How can I get as much as possible done and yet also not miss anything? So I said, okay, I need to make a rule for myself. And quickly, I called this my Sunday basket. I mean, this became something I did every single Sunday from that Sunday forward. Like, I've always done it. And it has worked really well for me. And I was like, all right, two things. First, I have to literally, in as much time as I've been given or before Greg needs help again, I need to get as many actionable tasks done on this Sunday as I can so that they aren't even available on Monday. Now, way back then, in 2002, we weren't ordering anything online. We weren't using our computer for anything other than like a really expensive paperweight. So it wasn't like I could do what I could do today on Sunday, but there were a lot of things I could do. I could pay all my bills by checks. I could update our spreadsheet. I think we had a spreadsheet at the time or whatever our budget software was. I could make a list of phone calls I needed to do Monday morning. I could pack my car full of everything I needed for errands, which I did on Tuesday. So I could like prep myself for my weekly job, which was being a mom of these two kids while Greg went to work and running my direct sales company. So I did as much as I possibly could. And then quickly I realized that I didn't get back to the basket very much during the week. Like I did, but not as much. Each week I would get back to the basket less and less as far as doing actionables out of the basket. So after a couple of weeks, I realized, okay, I get as much done as I can on Sunday. So I need to make a rule so that whatever needs to get done before the next Sunday at least gets done before the next Sunday. So the rule was this. Take all 40 of the slash pockets out of the basket, or I don't know, some of the slash pockets had gotten eliminated, but however many there were. And I would touch every single one. If there was something I could do on Sunday, I would do it. And I got more and more time from Greg. I started with 2 hours, and some Sundays I had a whole 4 hours. Like as long as the kids were happy watching TV, I didn't care what he did with them. I needed this time to prepare for my week to be a good employee for all the jobs I had created for myself. So I got as much done as I possibly could. Then as I picked up every single slash pocket, I asked myself this one question all the way back then, 20 years ago. I said, can every single thing that's left in this slash bucket wait until I can do this next Sunday? If the answer was yes, it went right in the basket and I was done with it. And if the answer was no, then I would look through that slash bucket and anything that had to be done before next Sunday, I would leave out on the kitchen counter and I would tackle it Monday through Friday. This worked so well. And very quickly, I realized that all I needed to do Monday through Friday was take anything that could wait until my special Sunday time and just toss it in this basket along with these slash pockets. So my kids, I mean, and now we have this with Grayson, like every toy the kids have batteries, every single one. And you need the screwdriver to undo it. It takes so much time to change batteries in kids' toys. I can't even tell you. And then you have to buy them. They're so expensive. So I very quickly started just taking the toy from Joey when he was like, you know, it doesn't work, and just throwing it in the Sunday basket, taking the library books, throwing it in the Sunday basket, taking the pill bottle that needed to be refilled, throwing it in the Sunday basket, like anything physical, I even started throwing in the Sunday basket because I had this basket, because I did not have a paper pile of slash pockets. I had a basket that had some extra room in it. And I just started saying this and this and this. And then I started writing myself notes. Don't forget to make a haircut. Don't forget to register for preschool. Don't forget to, you know, like all these ideas I would get. And I quickly started all of the pieces that you see of the Sunday basket today, I was using within the first 6 weeks of creating my own Sunday basket. This was so huge. Now, what I did not anticipate, I think when I sat down on that Sunday night, I anticipated being able to get on top of my life because I'd done this before. Like my mom had set a good example for me when I was in school and I would get overwhelmed. She would allow me to take a mental health day before that was a thing. And I could stay home and she would tell the school I was sick. I was not sick. And I would get caught up on all my projects. So I knew that if you gave me enough time, I could reorganize my life and I could get caught up. And that's basically what the Sunday basket did at first. But what planning and organization always does, and I know you've felt this in any times when you've been organized as well, is it not only cleans up the mess that you have or helps you get back on top of your actionable to-dos, it clears up your mental clutter and allows you to start thinking expansively and to see new synergies and to take on more, and increases your capacity overall. So once this was working so well with the Sunday basket, I realized that a lot of the slash buckets that I had in the Sunday basket were work-related for my direct sales business, and they were not house-related. And so it was one of those Sundays where I thought, I wonder if I separate out the work from the home, if that would help me. So Abby was probably about 7 or 8 months at this point, and I said to Greg, I said, look, I need to have some dedicated time for my business because I'm making good money and we're earning these trips and like, it's a job, like this is a job. And I'm trying to be a full-time mom because the kids were not in preschool and also run this business in the nooks and crannies of my life. But the problem is the job, the direct sales job was bigger than the nooks and crannies. And I didn't want to give up the job. I said, but I also don't want to give up being the stay-at-home mom. I want everything. So I said, what I want to do, and I can pay for this out of my company, is I want to hire a babysitter on Wednesdays that will come at 8 a.m. and leave at 6 p.m. And so she'll come at 8 a.m. She'll watch the kids all day long. She'll make breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All we have to do is baths in bed that night. And I will work one day in our basement. So I'll still even be here, but one day in our basement, and I'll get everything done work-related. He was like, okay, fine. So they had a wonderful babysitter. I love babysitters. I love babysitting, and I love babysitters. You'll notice this in my stories. I hire housekeepers, and I was a housekeeper. I hire babysitters, and I was a babysitter. Like, I love being an employee, and I love being an employer. So I hired this babysitter on Wednesday. She came at 8 a.m. and she left at 6. So then that Sunday before she started, I was like, okay, I'm going to start a second basket. Told you I had a lot of these baskets. That wasn't a problem. And I'd already put all the work in slash buckets. So that Sunday, I sat on my bed and I was like, okay, if this is related to me being a wife, mother, homeowner, that's going to stay in the Sunday basket. If this is related to me being a direct sales business owner, that's going to go in my new Wednesday basket, which is for my direct sales business. So I moved everything over there. Now, what's interesting about the direct sales basket, which became the Friday workbox, was that I had been up until that point working my business in the nooks and crannies of my day. And I was getting all of the urgent things done, some of the important things done, a lot of hobby work done because it was fun. When you hire somebody for 10 hours and you go in your basement with your pretzels and your sweet tea and your basket, and you know you're paying somebody to watch your children, I had to work for 10 hours. 10 hours is a lot of time. It's a lot of time, especially if you've never had dedicated time for your work. So it was about 12 weeks of me doing that. At first, I just had so much to do. Like, and my business was in the basement. Like, I did workshops in the basement. I did creative memories workshops. I had my unit meetings down there. So I had a lot of inventory down there. So there was a lot down there to do in addition to any administrative work I needed to do. So the first couple of weeks, there's plenty of hobby work and stuff that I did down there. But once I got to week 4, I was like, do I even have more work to do? And I had to start then focusing on the actual work that kept growing my business, like making cold calls and stuff like that that wasn't hobby work. Well, after doing this for a couple of weeks, what I found was the work that moved my business forward, having meetings, doing recruiting interviews, doing shows, like I do shows during the day, one-on-one, not a problem, doing workshops, all of that, were eating up all of my time. I was starting to make more money and I still wanted more working time, but I didn't want to have a babysitter any more days per week. And the work that was left to do was work that somebody else could do. And that's when I hired Margaret. So Margaret was my first employee and she worked 5 days a week for me on Thursdays. So I got another basket and I called that my assistant basket. So Sunday, I would go through my Sunday basket and I would do anything I could in my Friday workbox if I had time for the Friday workbox. And all week long, if it could wait till Wednesday, it had to wait till Wednesday. So Wednesday at 8 a.m., I would go downstairs and I would start on my Friday workbox. And I would do all the work that I had to do. And all day long, as I was working, I would say to myself, can Margaret do this? Every single task. Can Margaret do this? Yes. Okay. Then I would write out the directions. I would put it in her basket. And if there were any materials that she needed, I would start to set those up on a table. And she came over and worked in my basement on Thursdays. Now, remember, if you remember my story, I watched my mom do this. Like, my mom started a business when I was in second grade in our basement and sold it when I was in eighth. And there were employees in our basement all the time. This was not unusual to me, you guys. You may be like, this is the most unusual thing. No, not unusual for me. I saw this modeled growing up. So when I had all these scrapbook tables, I had these 6-foot tables downstairs. I think we had 10 of them. And they were always set up. So I had a set of 4 of them set up. And I would go over and I'd say, Margaret, project number 1. And I would have the newsletter. She'd take it. She'd run it off. She'd mail it. That would be 1 week. Project, the next week, it might be like, make this scrapbook page sample. Whatever, anything that she could do that I didn't have to do, I would just take the task, I'd put it over there on the table, I'd put the instructions in the basket, and I would lay out any supplies that she needed. So now, working 10 hours on Wednesday, I was really working 15 hours because 5 of them were Margaret's hours. And that, I would say, was basically my 2002 to 2003 experience, the year that I started the Sunday Basket and the Friday Workbox at the age of 30. Now, what I would say on the home front, as far as the productive home solution, my home never really got out of hand when I had children. And I think that the reason that my home never really got out of hand when I had children was because I was a stay-at-home mom. So I was always there. It was like a living jigsaw puzzle. When I played with my children, I mostly was organizing their toys, and they thought I was playing with them. I'm not going to lie. I was doing a lot of hobby work. I had looked forward to this phase of my life for my entire life. I was a preschool teacher. Like, I was in my happy place. When your children are under the age of 7, organizing your house, the toys, the clothes, the food is like shoveling snow in a snowstorm. It is never ending. It is constant. I love it. I love it. I love that you have to get new clothes and get rid of the old clothes and rehang them up and reorganize them. And then it's new toys. And then we're going to, I love it. I love everything about it. I'm crazy because most people don't love it. But I knew it was a phase of life. I knew what my role was in that. I literally went to college for this. I literally went to college for 0 to 8-year-olds. I knew all their developmental milestones. It is such a joy for me to watch my little baby Grayson, my grandson that is at our house every single day. I literally am watching his brain develop before my eyes because I know, like, everything he does, I'm like, oh, he's learning object permanence. Oh, he's learning, you know, this. Oh, he's learning. And Greg's like, unbelievable. I'm like, yep, he's right on track for all the milestones. Like, I just love everything about babies and early toddlers and all of that. So this was kind of what I was uniquely created to do. And I had little lesson plans for my kids, not all day long. Like, I didn't have a super long schedule, but there was something fun we did every day. It definitely looked like you walked into a preschool house. We decorated for every holiday. Things you don't even know are holidays. I already had the stuff because I was a preschool teacher. We pulled it out. We played with it. I had a cleaning schedule. And I also sometimes had a cleaning lady because I was doing really well in my direct sales business. So sometimes I hired a cleaning lady to come in. And sometimes I did the cleaning. I did a lot of rotating of the toys so that the toys were different and fresh and things like that. I actually was really good at cooking and menu planning. I know. You're like, who is this woman? Yeah, she was a totally different woman. This woman 20 years ago was a totally different woman than the Lisa that you know today. I was doing the grocery game. I bought everything with coupons. I got great deals. I did bulk freezer cooking. I made casseroles. I had crock pots. I did it all. Like, we were in Mommy and Me, and we were in the Gymboree thing, and we were having play dates, and we did the whole momming thing. I had been waiting my entire life to be in this time, and I loved it. The thing I didn't love was the overwhelmingness of not being able to stay on top of all of the amazing opportunities that were coming my way. And the creation of the Sunday basket, the creation of the Friday workbox, and then creating another basket for the assistant that I hired was really the game changer. And what I learned during all of that was that I could do more. I could have more. I could balance work and home more as long as I had that Sunday planning time and I had some dedicated work time where I wasn't the primary parent. And then I had some support staff either in cleaning or in administrative that then gave me even more impact with the work I was doing, but allowing me to be home with my kids a lot. So it's a pretty rosy picture, isn't it? Like, yeah, I was a little overwhelmed when I made the Sunday basket, but there's no really trauma here. This is like, you're like, wow, you really had a blessed life. And I will say, absolutely. I absolutely did. So if you're thinking this is too good to be true, it was too good to be true. Because when I turned 35, the wheels fell off and I slid down this hill into a deep pit of despair. It was the hardest 5 years of my life, starting from 35 to 40. And I'll tell you about that next week. Habits are a funny thing. Our habits develop over time, and sometimes it's very conscious, and sometimes our habits just develop unconsciously. It's often that you could see habits inside of other people better than they can see the habits that they're doing themselves. And I love to study productive people. How are they spending their time? What are they doing? How are they thinking about things? What order do they put things in order to harness the power of their time? Over the years, as I have done that, I have created better and better and better habits for myself. And through the creation of the Sunday Basket and these podcast episodes, I've been able to make visible the invisible habits that I've created over time that have made me the productive person I am today. So if you're thinking, well, this Sunday Basket thing is intriguing, and it's interesting to see how this one habit of the Sunday Basket has moved with Lisa over 20 years in very, very different stages of life and things that I'm doing, I would love for you to try our brand new recreated Sunday Basket mini course. You can find the link right in the show notes for this podcast. So just go to your podcast player and go in the show notes and find the link and you can sign up there. It's completely free. And I would love to walk you through organizing your habits the way we do in the Sunday Basket. What do you do throughout the week in order to create a new Sunday Basket routine? It is different to put off and delay your decision-making to one day a week. And so it's a new muscle that you need to create. So go ahead and download the free mini course, or if you're already a Sunday Basket user and you've had a hard time articulating why this works for you and how this works, then invite your family, friends, and colleagues to download the free Sunday Basket mini course. Link in the show notes.